From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, November 6, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
Maine is once again seeing a record number of new daily COVID-19 cases, with the CDC reporting 184 today. The number of active cases across the state is 1,464. Franklin and Knox County schools have been designated yellow as state agencies recommend schools there move to hybrid learning and suspend sports and extracurriculars. They joined Somerset and Washington counties. Waldo County, which had been designated as yellow, was moved to green. High school winter sports practices can begin in Maine in December, and the state now says community youth sports programs must also follow the same timeline. New guidelines released today say that moderate-risk sports like ice hockey and basketball will be able to start practices in December and play games in January, with masks required for all athletes. State Health and Human Services Commissioner Jean Lambrew outlined the plan at a briefing today.
We have put the start date back past the holidays, past Thanksgiving, for practices in intramural, past the winter holidays for competition, in the interest of trying to keep those players, referees, their families, and their communities safe.
Wrestling has been designated a higher risk sport in the state and was not given a start date for practices or games. Colleges in Maine are increasing testing and other health precautions as cases have begun to surge in Maine. Waterville's Thomas College announced earlier this week that it will begin testing students weekly as cases have skyrocketed in both the state and in Kennebec County. President Lori LeChance says that while the school has yet to detect a single case of COVID-19 on campus, the state numbers have prompted the school to increase monitoring.
Right. And the very best we can do is to prepare ourselves for when and if that virus comes, to act very quickly, to isolate, to mitigate, and to go on with delivering our education in the most powerful way possible.
Colby and Bates Colleges both announced this week that they are asking students to limit travel to reduce exposure to the virus. And the University of Southern Maine said today that it was moving to remote learning for the day and is asking all residential students on the Gorham campus to stay on campus through the weekend after wastewater from the school tested positive for the virus. In weather tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with lows in the 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm with highs in the low 50s to the low 70s. And on Sunday, partly sunny with a chance of some light rain in the mountains and highs in the mid 40s to the high 60s. The head of the Maine Center for Disease Control is urging people to do the right thing by wearing masks and avoiding gatherings. Dr. Nirav Shah made the plea during a news briefing today when the state once again set a record for new daily cases of COVID-19. Patty White reports.
If you want a sense of how much the key COVID-19 metrics in Maine have shot up, just look at the past 2 weeks. The state's positivity rate has tripled from 0.5% to 1.7%. Hospitalizations have more than quadrupled, from 8 to 37. And of the total number of cases recorded in Maine so far, 18% occurred in the past 2 weeks.
The bottom line is that the situation in Maine with respect to COVID-19 continues to show rapidly expanding community transmission.
Maine CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah says something else has increased, the number of people interacting with each other. The average number of close contacts that people with COVID-19 reported to the CDC from March to the present was 3.5. But in October alone, that number grew to almost 6. Shah says the increase underscores the importance of wearing masks.
Widespread masking would have a rapid and significant impact on the rates of transmission of COVID-19 across the state and across the country.
Governor Janet Mills issued an executive order this week that requires people to wear masks in both indoor and outdoor public settings, regardless of distancing. Shah says the focus is on public settings because that's where we're most likely to encounter others. The change means that diners and restaurants now must wear face coverings at all times, except for when they're eating. Runners, whose routes include sidewalks, should cover up too. When considering exactly when to wear a face mask outdoors, the commissioner of the Department of Health and Human Services, Jean Lambrew, says use common sense and consider whether you'll encounter someone else.
When you're asking the question of yourself, if you think there's a need to do it, you probably should.
Though the executive order focuses on public settings, small household gatherings are considered a primary driver behind the surge in cases in Maine. Dr. Shaw says people shouldn't mistake the order to mean masks aren't necessary for private get-togethers.
We are absolutely at the time period where wearing face coverings while just casually hanging out with some friends is the right thing to do, especially if you're indoors.
We've entered a time, state officials say, when everyone should ask themselves whether they're doing the right thing to keep themselves and others safe. Asked what additional steps the state might take if rates of COVID-19 continue to increase, Commissioner Lambrew said that the Mills administration is looking for lessons and strategies in other states. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And for the first time in almost a quarter century, there's new evidence that a wild wolf was in Maine as recently as last summer. As Fred Bever reports, advocates for the species say that builds a case that wolves should receive more protections, even as the federal government is weakening them.
John Gloa is executive director of the Maine Wolf Coalition, which has been conducting a citizen science project to analyze scat from wild canines, whether wolves, coyotes, or some combination, in Maine's northern woods. DNA extracted from one sample collected near the Canada border last summer was examined by U.S. and Canadian scientists. The results showed the animal was 85% wolf.
This would be the first documented case through DNA of a live eastern wolf in the U.S.
It's the first evidence of any wolf presence in Maine since the 1990s when two wolves were killed here. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service does not differentiate between gray wolves, whose population has been rebounding in recent decades, and the eastern wolf. But Gloa says Canada does make the distinction and that the animal that traveled through Maine was likely related to a wild wolf population based north of the border, wolves which are slightly smaller than gray wolves centered in the Great Lakes region.
There are perhaps a few thousand of them, but the center of their population is around Algonquin Park. Their range does extend south somewhat and east somewhat into Quebec.
Earlier this week, federal wildlife officials removed most wolves from protection under the Endangered Species Act, turning over their management to the states and tribes. Conservation groups are putting up a fight and filing multiple lawsuits to try to undo the decision. In Maine, Gloa is petitioning the State Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife to bar recreational trapping of coyotes or wolves, and to limit firearm hunting of coyotes. Both of those are aiming to reduce the chances of wolves being killed unintentionally. State and federal wildlife officials did not respond to requests for comment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. You can find more stories online at mainepublic.org. I'm Nora Flaherty. Have a good weekend.